Our next and last speaker probably doesn't need an introduction. She's probably known to almost everybody in this room. Naomi Armenta. So Naomi's going to speak on, I don't know if it's in the program, TNCWAVIRL, which means Transportation Network Companies, for those who are the not initiated, wheelchair accessible vehicles in real life. Naomi's a senior associate at Nelson Nygaard with 14 years experience working on transportation equity issues, which means I've also had the privilege and pleasure of working with Naomi for 14 years, including people with disabilities, seniors, and low-income communities. In addition to extensive work with Alameda County Transportation Commission, Naomi's also worked on projects in Contra Costa, Santa Clara counties, with BART, with MTC, and the California State Transportation Agency. With that, please welcome Naomi Armenta.
Good afternoon. As I was putting together pictures or trying to find pictures for this presentation, I wanted to give a shout out to the workhorse of accessible minivans, the Dodge Grand Caravan. I kept finding the pictures everywhere, owned by private individuals, that's mine there, businesses, nonprofits, seems to be the one we all like to use. We, in keeping with our tech theme, we realized TNC, WAVE, IRL, but in real life. For those of you who, like me, don't necessarily know all of the acronyms. So, how did we decide I should start testing these Uber and Lyft wheelchair accessible vehicles? We were hearing rumors from partners and stakeholders that Lyft and Uber were providing wheelchair accessible trips in coordination with existing paratransit transportation providers, the contractors for the ADA programs. Both programs, from what I can see, appear to be pilots, soft launch. There's very little in the way of official information out there. The paratransit coordination team here in Alameda County decided that we should pursue some testing. This was completed through the app, not through one of the subsidized programs or a concierge program. I want to note, as I said, very little official information. I found this sort of odd little picture from the Uber website of a, doesn't look like a minivan, it actually looks like a giant sort of SUV thing, and a little manual chair. And then the Lyft summary graphic is actually something put together by the CIL in Berkeley and put on their Facebook page for their consumers to know about. So as I said, the companies themselves seem to be pretty leery about putting the information out there. And my focus was not so much on the equivalency of service, which is of course a very important question that has come up already, but really the reality of using this new mode. Is it safe and reliable? And because the reality so far, as has come up, is that on-demand wheelchair accessible service has been very rare, really all over. So with that, forward. So starting off with the Lyft Access Program. My testing has been centered in Alameda County since I have been doing it in coordination with this project, but people do travel in the entire region. So I decided to test the Lyft pilot as it was available in San Francisco. It's available 7 to 12, 7 days a week. You have to set a setting within the app. So you have to download the app onto your phone and then go into the settings and click the little wheelchair access setting to be able to see it. If you open up the app outside of San Francisco and you have this setting set on your phone, then you're going to get a little message up on your top bar on your cell phone, little ping, and it will say that the access pilot is only available within SF County. So I'm like, well, thank you for that reminder whenever I open the app. from what I found out riding the trip, they are only doing, those drivers and those vans are only doing these access trips, at least at the time when I rode this. And they're using this type of van with a rear load manual ramp. And it's operated in partnership with First Transit. And let me see, ramp stand. Yep, that was what I wanted to say about that. So moving on to the Uber Wave. So for the East Bay, Uber Wave is more relevant because the vans are based in Pleasanton, Palo Alto, and Burlingame. This is what I've been told. And then being based in Pleasanton would explain why the East County trips have been going well. And I'm glad to hear that because I haven't gone out there to test it. You don't have to change a setting to access a Wave in the Uber app. You just keep scrolling down until you find it. It's at the bottom of the list. You have to go past the other types of vehicles, but it's down there. Anyone can find it. And you can see the little picture there with the little active wheelchair and the Wave. And from what I have found, they are doing all trips. So you might order another Uber for some reason, and a Wave van may actually come to do your trip. Let me see. So they are doing their trips in partnership with MV Transit. You can see they're using a side load, also a manual ramp with a pole that pulls out. Both are bronze ramps for those of you who are interested in that sort of thing. And both of these are, again, the Dodge Grand Caravans. Also, both services have stickers on the side for Mobility Works, showing that they either purchased the vehicles through the Mobility Works system or are having them maintained by that, or both. Mobility Works is a nationwide van modification and repair chain. Is that the next one? Okay. So next. So my quantity of trips was not meant to be a scientific sample. I also, as I said, have done here in Alameda County and one in San Francisco. I also went ahead and did a trip when I was in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago, because I was there and decided to try it. Richard told me to. Also, when I was traveling this winter, I went ahead and opened up my apps in Nashville and Louisville. The Lyft was not pulling up anything in any of those three cities, and Uber was not pulling up any Uber Waves in Nashville or Louisville, only in Washington, D.C. So I've done trips weekday and weekend, rush hour, in the afternoon, in the rain. I have not done any evening trips yet. I apologize, but I just don't go out in the evening very much. And it has been winter, so when I have been out in the evening, I've just been too tired to deal with testing something that I'm not quite sure how it's going to work. I've done trips in downtown San Francisco, downtown Oakland, North Oakland, San Leandro, and the Tri-City, and as I said, Washington, D.C. The wait times have ranged from 15 to 27 minutes. The trip lengths have been between 0.7 miles and 12.8 miles, and my overall time spent on the vehicle has been 10 to 52 minutes. The longest trip time was during rush hour, no big surprise. The highest, the fares have been $7 to $20, and the per mile, if you look at it that way, has been between $1.50 and $11. The highest cost per mile has been in the most dense urban areas. I do have concerns from this. I do also want to point out something important about the Washington, D.C. Trip is that this screenshot is from that area. They actually have the wheelchair accessible taxis also on the Uber app there, which is not something we have here. And wheelchair accessible taxis have their own app there as well in Washington, D.C. So you could download an app and order a wheelchair accessible taxi through the taxi app, but it is also on the Uber app. My only failed trip actually was in Washington, D.C. I put in the confirm, and for 3 minutes it tried to confirm it, and then it gave me a message that said ride could not be fulfilled, all cars full. So I went ahead and scrolled down, as the nice gentleman from the access board had shown me, and did the taxi wave instead, and was able to take my trip that way. I then did take the Uber wave back to the hotel. That driver was actually surprised at the earlier fail. I could have tried to do it multiple times to see if it would have gone through, but I decided that wasn't in keeping with what I was trying to show. But as I said, it did work on the way back. So the concerns that I have sort of collected as I've been going through this, really the biggest challenge I've had, I would say, other than that, was the app giving me sort of redirections for the location. Instead of where you are, go over here. And sometimes, and it's not far, it's usually around the block. It's presumably somewhere that's a better place for a wheelchair vehicle to pick me up. But sometimes it's a little hard to find the address. I usually end up messaging the driver and saying, this is where I am. And it's been fine, they have found me. I've heard stories about trip quote-unquote denials, different from what I described, where the driver does not want to do the trip, and so they will drive the opposite way. You can see on the map they're going the opposite way, or they will message and ask the person to cancel the trip. They're basically trying to get the rider to cancel the trip so it doesn't ping against them on their data. So that did not happen to me, obviously, or I would be telling you about it, but I did hear that that could happen. So when I've been talking to people about this, I've been encouraging them to keep on their complaints, because that is really not supposed to happen. I do have concerns about the hardware. The vans don't have kneelers, so the ramp grade is pretty steep, and they are manual ramps. I do know of a program, one place that replaced their vans with all manual ramps, and many of the drivers then went out on workers' comp over a period of time. So it is a concern, and one of the reasons I heard for riders, maybe drivers trying to get out of some of these trips, have been trying to push people that are too heavy for them in manual chairs up these steep ramps. So there are concerns there. Many of the drivers I dealt with were new, so they have had training, about 3 weeks worth of training from what they told me, but still there is sort of an experience building there, a learning curve. And of course, we all have concerns about reliability, as we've gone over already. You know, what is the timing? Am I going to get stuck out in this place where I wasn't planning on going or getting stuck? And of course, sustainability. This is a new service that kind of popped up out of nowhere. It's not publicized. We all hear things in the news about these companies. It's natural for riders, I think, to not be sure how committed the companies are to these services, and to have some concern. Okay, so I also wanted to note that Alameda County has been working with on-demand wheelchair accessible trips for years, or attempting to as best as we can. The taxi programs have been in place, the subsidized taxi programs operated by cities have been in place for many, many years. I went back to an old report from Oakland from 2010, and at that time, according to the vehicle roster, Friendly reported that they had 8 ramp minivans and Veterans had 7. But we all know, well, I say we all, but those of us who have been trying to use them or working with people who have been trying to use them know that the reality of the availability didn't really seem to reflect that number. It seemed to be really a matter of luck whether you could actually get one of these accessible taxis or not. And that was 10 years ago or 9 years ago. A year ago, Friendly reported that they had 6 of these vans. They also had 4 large vans, which are probably not being used for any type of taxi service, if you think about a large van. And St. Mini/Veterans had none. And Bell Transit, which again is, I don't think, doing on-demand taxi service, had 24. Again, the reality seems even worse nowadays if you were actually trying to get an accessible taxi. Cities have also been trying to work, many of them over the years, on wheelchair van programs. Berkeley and Oakland have both had these, which have tried to provide a little bit more responsive service to pair with their subsidized taxi programs And Oakland right now is working with Glenn Medical on the same day wheelchair accessible program. So it's not meant to, I think, mirror a taxi availability or a TNC availability. Also, grant programs have attempted to meet this need. Emeryville's Eight to Go, though I think a lot of those trips have ended up being pre-scheduled. And also Easy Does It has been trying to meet this kind of emergency same-day need. The county used to sponsor, or the Alameda CTC used to sponsor, a hospital discharge transportation service program and a wheelchair scooter transportation breakdown service program. These were very specialized, meet very specialized needs, somebody being discharged from the hospital, or somebody with a broken down mobility device. And they were working with MV using existing stock of vans and personnel. And at the time that we ended them, about 3 or 4 years ago, that model was not able to work. We tried for years and it was not able to reliably meet the needs. So as I said, these have been ongoing issues, which may account for some of the skepticism you sometimes see in staff and riders in trying to make these new programs work. So, but next. Always more modes. I'm a big fan of trying any mode I can. Boat, Hogwarts train, elephant tug. It's out there, I will try it. And I do want to say, in keeping with the themes of universal design, something that's accessible to a power wheelchair is accessible to a lot of people with issues that we may not even be thinking of, and hopefully not just groceries. Hopefully we can continue to make more modes accessible and realistically usable and practical for everybody. And that's me.
Great. Thank you, Naomi. Clarification questions, Sean and Mike.
Well, yeah. I was just curious about the side ramp versus the rear ramp vehicle, and if you had any comments about that experience.
It's a really tough call. The thing that when you board onto the side ramp, you have to turn, and it's a very tough turn. And I've been doing, and I don't even have foot pedals, and I've been doing about a 4 or 5 point turn. It's all Austin Powers, back and forth, and trying not to, fall out the side. But the rear load, you have a lot more bounce from the shocks, and also there's kind of a hump when you're rolling in that your front tires have to go over. So I end up sitting kind of way far back for the ride, which is also maybe more secure in its own way. Also with the rear load, you have to find a different boarding path than you do with a side load. Again, like I say, there's so much back and forth. I think on the rear load, though, I think those ramps are sturdier and less likely to break. So as I said, for me, there's not a real clear answer right now. I do think that the van should kneel, though. I think that small bit would help.
Hey, Mike, can you put your hand up so Roberta can get you? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. Other people may know the answer to this. You mentioned the Uber wave in Washington and various cities around here. Does anybody know who owns those vehicles? Because that's a topic that's coming up on SB 1376.
Well, the Uber wave, wherever it is in the different, there are several cities around the U.S., their whole partnership is with MV. But the Lyft, what I heard a Lyft staff person say at a conference was that where they are piloting their Lyft access program, they are choosing a partner that they think is appropriate in each area. So the only one I know about is with First Transit here. I don't really actually know where the other locations are. So if anybody else does, and we can try to find out, from there who they're partnering with.
But for the most part, you don't know any situation where the drivers own the vehicles.
No, they've only been doing them. I mean, aside from earlier in the programs when Uber and Lyft were heavily recruiting people to drive their own van, since then, since that hasn't worked out for them, they seem to only be looking at partnerships with established transportation providers.
Because I'm always concerned about if the driver doesn't own it, how do they get it? You know, they have to go pick it up somewhere.
Well, these people are employees. Yeah, these drivers are employees of MC at first.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.